question that God asked the prophet Ezekiel 2,500 years ago. We're going to ask it again today. Can these bones live?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here. I am in Tübingen, Germany. As you listen to these words though, I should be flying back home. Just finished some tremendous meetings in Tübingen and preached tonight, as you're hearing it now, the next day on the theme, Can These Bones Live? I got back to my room. It was late. I thought, okay, got to get up early in the morning to fly back. But I wanted to make sure that I got this message out to you first. I believe you'll be encouraged, edified, strengthened by the teaching we bring you. Just the truth and nothing but the truth. I'll be looking forward to taking your calls tomorrow and having a great broadcast and a special interview as well. A whole lot is happening. So much of it good, so much of it exciting. I know sometimes, friends, that we can look around in the media, the TV, read the news, internet, and there's a lot that's bad happening. I mean, that's always the way it's been in the world, but with such a big world, 7.5 billion people, and with suffering and pain and tragedy all the time, and chaos, and world governments rising and falling, you can easily look around at everything, and you think, man, this world is messed up. And it is, it is. And then maybe in your own life, you're going through a real traumatic time. Maybe it's a really hellish, miserable, difficult time for you in your own life. And that colors some of your thinking as you look at the world around you. But I want to encourage you to always remember not only to look to the Lord, meaning, Lord, I trust you. Lord, you're good. No matter what I'm going through, I'm going to praise and worship you as good. You're holy, you're faithful, you're just. You keep your promises, all those wonderful things. Yes, we look to him, but we also look to what he is doing in the earth. When you realize how many great and mighty things God is doing, it encourages you. When you realize the lives that are being transformed, it encourages you. I'm not going to live in a bubble of only what God does without also looking at the tremendous needs around me. I want to take this knowledge of who God is and what he's doing, and I want to bring it to the situations around me, the situations that are hurting, where there's suffering, where there's pain. Absolutely. On the flip side, I don't want to live in the bubble of human suffering and human pain and forget who God is and what he's doing. So I was joined here in Germany by my dear friends Jesu Padam and Monica. Worked with Jesu Padam now for 24 straight years in India. And God's given him a tremendous heart for Germany. And he's been coming here now for several months a year and ministering and pouring himself out. And they drove over 6 hours from Rotterdam in Holland, where they were joining our ministry school, Fire School of Ministry, for special classes that are being held there. And they come with great encouragement and firsthand knowledge of what God is doing. So I want to talk to you in very stark, real, honest terms about how dark things are in Europe, about the many challenges we're facing in America, about the great challenges of reaching the Muslim world, about the great challenges of reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I want to speak to you honestly, candidly, but in such a way that when this broadcast is done, your faith will be stronger, your confidence will be greater, and there may even be a little bounce in your spiritual step when we talk about, can these bones live? If you want to grab your Bibles, Ezekiel chapter 37, that's the text we're going to start in. We're going to start with ancient Israel. We're going to come up until today, right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we're going to dig into Ezekiel 37. Michael Brown coming your way from Tubingen, Germany. So yesterday we came your way from Catania in Sicily. And as you're listening to these words, I should actually be in flight coming back from Germany to be with you again live on Wednesday. But this broadcast was recorded right before leaving after our meeting in Tubingen. And can I just thank you for prayer support? When I travel overseas, my schedule can be pretty full and intense. And if you've ever traveled overseas, you can have jet lag, time change, and things like that. So there's just a lot of grace on me to do this. But I know it's also helped through your prayers. So I flew, from leaving my home to arriving in Sicily was about 21 hours. And you kind of miss a night's sleep just the way the schedule works out. Just slept a bit on the plane. And then got into Sicily, got to nap for about 2 hours, and then went to preach Friday night, and then meeting Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, and then some private meetings with others in between, and then preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then flew to Germany early afternoon on Monday, and then got into Germany, got a 15-minute nap at the place where I was staying, went from there to a late afternoon meeting, had a wonderful dinner with dear friends, and I'm going to share some encouraging stories with you, then preached again at night. We just had a tremendous service, and then back to the room to do radio before flying out. And I'm doing great. I'm blessed. Of course, healthy diet does help, but God's grace sustains. So thank you for praying and standing with me. You are part of this trip. You are always in my heart, my dear Line of Fire listeners, wherever we travel around the world. So the question of the hour, can these bones live? We're going to start historically, and then we're going to apply this verse, this passage, to different times in history, and up until today, even in our own lives, we'll make a spiritual application. Ezekiel 37:1, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Did you ever stop and picture this? Have you ever seen some of the horrific pictures from the Holocaust? We have stacks of human bodies, just a mountain of human bodies, and then a mountain of bones. I mean, it's a devastating kind of picture. So he's brought out in the middle of this valley. It's full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Not just bones, but dry bones. Not just dry bones, but very dry bones. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you know." Now, if I had been asked that question, God showing me the bones, can they live? I think I would have had a debate in my mind as to what would be the correct answer God was expecting. I probably would have said, yes, of course they can live because you're God and they can do whatever you want them to do. At which point God might have said to me, that's superficial. These bones are dead. What makes you think they can live? Well, then I could have been a realist and say, these bones are dead. Obviously, I see that. Of course they can't live. But the answer was the right one given by Ezekiel. Lord, you know. Because naturally speaking, no, they can't. But if you do something, they can. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath, and breath and spirit, same word. So Ezekiel's led out by the Ruach, the spirit. Now he's prophesying that breath, spirit will enter you and you will come to life. And here's what Ezekiel is to prophesy to them. I'll attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath, Ruach, in you, and you will come to life. You will live. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And you know the extraordinary account that follows from here. If you're not familiar with it, it's Ezekiel 37. Read it and be blessed as you read it. Okay. Historical context. Ezekiel is in exile in Babylon. God's temple in Jerusalem, the sacred holy temple, has been destroyed and burned with fire. many of the leaders of the nation and thousands of the people have been brought into exile, Ezekiel among them. And they are there in Babylon, in a foreign land. And even though there were still Judeans, Jews that were living back in the land, in their original homeland, the exile was devastating. And in particular, the end of the Davidic rule, there's no more Davidic king on the throne. The temple representing God's majesty and power and his covenant with Israel, it's destroyed. And the people are in exile. And it's easy to think, this is it, it's all over. We're going to end our lives here. We're going to die here. Our children are going to die here. And this nation will cease to be a nation as we live and die in exile. It would be very easy to think that way. And in point of fact, that has happened to other nations through history. They've gone into exile. They've suffered terrible devastation. They've never come back to their homeland. And that's the end of the story. Much of the 10 northern tribes of Israel was lost to history in that very way. Of course, a remnant of all the tribes has remained, but many were lost to history. And it would be easy to think that way. And yet, God said, you will return from the exile. And Jeremiah prophesied, and Zechariah prophesied that there'll be people, young men and young women dancing in the streets, weddings being celebrated, children playing, the elderly there again. There's going to be great restoration. The temple will be rebuilt. God's presence will be there. And it did happen. There was a return from exile. The dead bones lived. The dry bones lived. But this passage has applied again and again to the Jewish people. I'm not saying that was the primary intent of Ezekiel, but certainly the Holy Spirit is speaking this, and there's a template that the deliverance from Babylonian exile is a template of God's deliverance of his people in future generations and his regathering them back to the land. Let's think of the Holocaust. Let's think of the horrors of the Holocaust. And here in Tübingen, Germany, this was a city famous for many Nazi executioners. Not just the people who gave the commands, but Nazi executioners who, with their own bullets, killed hundreds or thousands of Jews and others. It was a city famous for its Nazi cruelty. And that's where I am right now as I speak to you, in Tübingen. And you think of the horrors of the Holocaust, 2/3 of European Jews slaughtered. Jews that were able to get out of Europe and tried to make their way to Palestine were stopped, and the British would not allow them in, forcing them to go back to Europe, and many of them died there. So it is the British mandate, it is Great Britain that is over Palestine. There is no new plan on the table at that moment in terms of, right, here's the partition plan, the Jewish people can have a homeland. That comes a little bit after. But in the midst of the horrors of the Holocaust, as bodies are being burned in crematoria by the hundreds of thousands, you look around and you think, can these bones live? They're not just bones, they're dry bones. They're not just dry bones, they're very dry bones. And yet out of the ashes of the Holocaust, God restored his people back to the land. And you could even say that you would never have had a UN vote for a Jewish homeland with enough sympathy for it to be done had it not been for the devastating horrors of the Holocaust. And despite all odds, the bones have lived. And next year is the 70th anniversary of those bones living. What's the point? God does things that are impossible to us. God does things that defy the pattern of history. God does things that the whole world would get up and say, this can never happen, this will never happen. And we add our two famous words, but God. Do you know that something extraordinary has happened right here in Tübingen? Do you know that there is something that's been raised up in a new way, a new spiritual application of dead bones living? And do you know that the current mayor of Tübingen is a Jew? The first time in something like 1,000 years, something like this has happened. And the city is growing and prospering under him. The city of Nazi murderers now has a Jewish mayor. Oh, but there's something far more significant that I want to share with you. The ministry that we're involved here received a special burden and mandate from the Lord to pray for the people of Israel and to call on the silent generation in Germany that had been complicit with the Nazis or Nazis and then just wouldn't talk about it and moved on, has challenged them to lift the veil of silence and to speak the truth, and the results have been dramatic.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, Michael Brown, your friendly voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, coming away from Tübingen in Germany and looking forward to a great broadcast, our next show on the Line of Fire, taking your calls and with an important interview on our Wednesday broadcast. But first, we focus on what's happening right here in Europe. In Tübingen, Germany, a ministry was raised up, a dear brother, friend, Jobst Bittner, Jobst and his wife Charlotte. And interestingly, they are some of the most powerful faith people in Germany, just taking the gospel on the streets, just being bold and full of faith, full of the Spirit, standing with Israel. They have really swam, gone. They've swam, whatever you do, against the tide. They have gone against the grain. And they felt the only way to stand is to be uncompromising in their faith and their witness. And it's remarkable to see what's happened through the ministry here. So God gives them this tremendous burden for Israel. And God gives them a ministry and a burden to address what they speak of the veil of silence over the older generation, the parents and grandparents that had connections to the Nazis or were themselves Nazis, and then after the war just felt bad about things and went on with life, but it was nothing addressed. And the younger generation grew up somewhat ignorant of the reality, and these believers felt, how can we really see God's blessing on our nation until we come clean with our past? Now, German Christians have often had repentance meetings and things like that and asked forgiveness, but this was something different. This was bringing things out publicly and openly and saying, this is who I was. This is what my father was involved with. And we are now going to take public steps to correct that. And he wrote a book. I wrote the foreword to it on this veil of silence. And it's had an incredible impact in Germany. It's gone into other nations and other languages. And it's been a tremendous eye-opener. One of our German friends read it some years ago and was shocked to read it. She said, is this true? She just did not know so many of the things of the past. And what's happened now is, amazingly, this church has been used to reach out to Holocaust survivors. And you're talking about children or grandchildren of Nazis who are ministering to Holocaust survivors in Israel. In fact, this church has a house in Israel, a base there, and its entire purpose is to minister to Holocaust survivors in Israel, to help them, to share the love of God with them. And amazingly, as they just show them love and just demonstrate kindness, many of these people want to find out more. Why is it that you German Christians, descendants of the Nazis, some of your parents or grandparents were actively involved in atrocities? Why do you have this love? And they've shared the gospel, and some have been wonderfully born again. And they began this march for life. They are very strong in the overall pro-life movement, but they felt the large March for Life movement had to bring the message of life to Germany because of the horrors of the past, and that it had to be a march that stood with the people of Israel. The last one they did had tens of thousands of marchers standing for life and standing with Israel in over 80 cities and nations. An extraordinary event. And they have one planned for next year, May 13th to 15th, in Israel, to coincide with the 70th anniversary of the birth of Israel, March of the Nations. And they are seeing incredible fruit. And the scenes they have described of these young people reaching out to Holocaust survivors and saying, my parents, my grandparents were involved with this, and I want to show you the love of God. Israel has recognized this with appreciation as a genuine Christian witness, and they are unashamed of Jesus. They make it clear that we do this because we love Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, and they have a genuine love. There needs to be nothing reciprocated. It is a genuine love for the Jewish people, and it's having an impact. But not only so, here they are in Germany. And things are rough in Germany. In my message, I described how dry the bones are in Germany, spiritually speaking. We know the original context of Ezekiel's prophecy, the dry bones prophecy in Ezekiel 37, but we could make spiritual applications, secondary application to our own situations around us where there's dry bones. I mean, Germany is in a spiritual mess. And like much of Europe, the birth rate is too low to sustain a society long term. In other words, if you don't have a sufficient amount of children being born, you cannot sustain the society. The older generation is not cared for. There is no support system. And ultimately, things break down. Several of the European nations, the only way they are sustaining adequate birth rate is because of the large numbers of Muslims coming in and having larger families, which means then that the countries over a period of time will just shift completely demographically to Islam. And even now, in several European cities or a country like England, the most common boy's name is Muhammad. Now, yes, it's a difficult situation. And there's so much skepticism and so much humanism. If you remember my interview with Paul Schaefer yesterday, he mentioned the Constitution of the European Union, 20,000 words in it, and God is never mentioned. That secular humanist, left-leaning, skeptical spirit, it's powerful. But in the midst of it, God is moving. And who's getting dramatically saved but these Muslim refugees from Syria, from Iran or Iraq or Turkey or other countries. But get this, when they're getting saved through this ministry in Tübingen, not only are they getting saved, they're getting a heart for Israel. And they have been on the streets testifying, because this church is every week on the streets reading the Bible and preaching the gospel on the streets of the great university city, Tübingen. And interestingly, Jobst and Charlotte have advanced degrees, master's level degrees from the great universities in Tübingen. Charlotte in ancient history and Jobst in theology. He studied under one of the most famous New Testament professors of the last generation, Martin Hengel. So they have this great pedigree, but they are fearless gospel preaching people, and they bring the gospel out on the streets every week, and they have all kinds of rallies. And now you are seeing these Muslims getting saved and testifying on the streets in front of fellow Muslims, saying, we were wrong about Jesus and we were wrong about Israel. God has turned our heart towards Jesus and God has turned our heart towards Israel. You talk about having a double target on your back, but God is doing it. And I met one Iranian brother tonight, and he was just beaming with the great things that God is doing in his home country of Iran. Yes. Bones very dry. Yes, things look very bad. The situation is dire. But God says the bones could live. And I want to come back and talk about, could there be another revival in Germany, in Europe, or is God through with Europe? Friends, also a special announcement. If you want to stand with us, something very special this week, I'll tell you about it. We come back on the other side of the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Can these dead bones live? It's a question that God asked the prophet Ezekiel 2,500 years ago. Can these bones live, these dry bones, these very dry bones, the bones of the Jewish people in exile? And yes, they could live. And those bones have lived again out of the ashes of the Holocaust, the modern state of Israel reborn. And those bones have lived in different ways, spiritually speaking, when God brings life out of death, when he brings children out of barrenness, so to say, when he brings produce, abundance out of famine. God has done this many times in history, and I believe at the end of the age, we'll see him do it with the lost sheep of the house of Israel in the ultimate way. But right now, I want to ask the question as I sit and speak with you in Tübingen, Germany, at the end of my 3.5-day trip to Italy and Germany. Can Germany live again? Can the dry bones of Germany live? Can Europe live? Can there be revival here in this nation? Michael Brown, so glad to be with you and have this opportunity to open the scriptures together. Ezekiel 37 is the text about the dry bones and one of the most extraordinary passages in the extraordinary Bible. Before I talk about Germany, I just want to remind you that wherever you are, you can listen to The Line of Fire, even if you're away from your radios or you don't get our show in your area or you only get part of it, all 2 hours on our Line of Fire app every day. Any show you miss, just click on it. You can listen to the recent archives. You can click on the app to call in. You can click to connect with our website for all of our resources. So go to your app store, Apple, Google Play, Android, and just type in The Line of Fire with Dr. Brown or The Line of Fire with Michael Brown. Scroll down, see it, download it. It's free and start enjoying it. I downloaded it and I wasn't going to listen to my own shows, but I just I started flipping around thinking, boy, I listen to that show, this show, and crystal clear, everything great quality. So take advantage of that. And this week, we're doing something very special. There's a brand new book out by Dr. Mark Stengler and his son, Mark Jr. It is a great book. Josh McDowell gives it the highest praise. It is Cult Shock. It is a 250-plus page book on sharing the gospel with Mormons, with Jehovah's Witnesses. I've been going through the book, and it's accurate. It's well done. It's practical. Great charts, sample conversations, a really, really eye-opening book, the kind of book that the cults don't want you to get. It sells for $16.99, so $17. I want to send it to you as my thank you gift for your gift of any size. We are about to be recording videos to go into every home in Israel with a cable TV. So we're talking about reaching the majority of the people of Israel with broadcasts tailor-made to reach Jewish people with the gospel, interacting with interview clips with Israelis, so Hebrew captions. This will be the most specific, targeted Jewish outreach we have ever done in our lives, with the most significant open door we've ever had set before us. And we could really use your help in doing it. God has funded the airtime and so much of the production time. There's a lot we have to put into it to make it happen. And with your help, we can really see these shows become a major focus of what we're doing and have an incredible impact in Israel. So your gift of any size, just pray, be as generous as you can. And my thank you gift is this Cult Shock book, which is a great blessing, over 250 pages, $17 book. So go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. You'll see this special offer on the homepage. My thank you gift personally to you for your gift of any size.
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Is God through with Europe? Is it over for Germany and the nations of Europe? Michael Brown coming away right now from Tubingen in Germany, not taking your calls. You're going to take your calls tomorrow on our broadcast. Getting back, should be early evening tonight, early evening Tuesday night. So here I am in Germany, and I preached a message on the theme, Can These Bones Live? My last meeting, the Monday night meeting. And I said, let's talk about how dry the bones are. Let's talk about the demographics, that the European population is dropping, and it's only maintaining necessary levels of kids per family for the next generation because of Islamic immigration and Muslim families having large numbers of children. And that means that the demographic is just going to switch, where over a period of time, Europe will become Muslim. It's just demographics. And then it's so atheistic in certain ways, or secular humanist in certain ways, and skeptical of the power of the gospel. And then you have just all the other issues in life, with everything the internet has brought, and the ability to reach so many for good or bad, pornography at everyone's fingertips, and just on and on, problems, difficulties, often a compromised church, often the liberal church leading the way in spiritual compromise, even moral compromise in certain ways in the nation. It's dire. And yet, there are men and women of God praying, seeking the face of God, weeping in repentance, reaching out to the lost, seeing God move, and they believe that they will see revival come to Germany. Now, I can't give you chapter and verse to prove that, and I am not giving you a personal prophecy here, but I want to share something with you that is significant to me and that I would like to encourage you with as you look at Europe and pray for Europe. Okay, I've worked with my friend Yesu Padam in India now since 1993. He's one of my closest friends in the world, he and his wife Monica, dear friends of Nancy and me. So I've been there 24 times since 1993. God willing, December will be 25 times in 25 years. And he has one of the most significant works I've seen anywhere in the world. There were unreached tribal regions, thousands of villages without churches. And God gave him a vision to reach these tribal villages, these tribal regions in the mountains of Paderu and surrounding areas in Andhra Pradesh in India, southeast India. And over the years now, through the ministry schools they have raised up and laborers they have sent out, they have planted now over 7,000 churches, and every one of those villages has a gospel witness. Every one of those villages has believers in the village. It's extraordinary. It's mind-boggling. It's real. There was one city where our lives were threatened as we preached. I mean, it got crazy. The worship leader, they had to smuggle him out before people could attack him. Yesu Padam and I were on stage preaching when Hindu radicals came on the stage and took the mics from us and stopped the meeting, shut down the meeting. I didn't see it at that time, but others saw they had knives and razor blades in their hands. There was a crowd. There was almost a riot broke out. And there's a strong church there that was planted through Yesu Padam's ministry. I mean, it's mind-boggling to see what's happened and how the work has grown. And Yesu Padam is not an American evangelist. He's an Indian. They're fine American evangelists, but you know, sometimes we Americans are a little famous for our hype and our big talk. And I talk about that a lot when I travel, about, you know, thank God for the American church, but we've messed up a lot of things as well. And, you know, we go overseas and we preach in another country, and you read in our newsletter, the whole country was shaken by our ministry. And you go talk to the leaders there, they go, nah, it was nothing. One famous preacher came over from America, and I was going to Italy. I've been to Italy 25 times as well. I was going to Italy to minister, and I get to the city, and the pastors there were very upset. And famous preacher from America was over there. And they said, yeah, he made all these promises. I said, how did it go? They said, the only thing he left us was a giant hotel bill. So I'm not giving you some light talk by some boastful American preacher. And again, thank God for all the fine American preachers and teachers and evangelists and those who go to the nations. But sometimes we get caught up in our own hype. We become legends in our own minds. And, oh, God did this and God did that. It's like, come on, let's see the fruit. What really happened? Well, I'm talking about an Indian, Yesupadam, who was raised in Untouchable, who was dying of malnutrition on the side of the road, collapsed on the side of the road when a Canadian missionary found him dying, brought him to a hospital, and over a period of time, he was physically rehabilitated. He hated the caste system so intensely. His dad became a Christian and named him Yesupadam, which means Jesus' foot, one of them at the foot of Jesus, and he despised the name. He signed in his own blood to become a Naxalite, a violent Maoist communist when he was 11 years old, became an alcoholic atheist and engaged in violent acts against the rich. And in his early 20s, while being in a church service with his wife, who was a believer, he looked up and faintly saw a vision of Jesus. He saw him there with his arms extended. He saw him with the blood dripping from his hands. And Jesus said to him, this is how much I've loved you. Call them my son. This is how much I've loved you. And what are you going to do for me? Yesupadam was gloriously born again that day. You come to India and you see firsthand the children in the children's school, in the orphanage, on their knees, praying and meeting with God at 4:30 in the morning and reading the scriptures. And you see the joy and these precious lives. You go and see the hospital they've built and the next hospital they're building. You see the places they built for the old folks and the school they have for the handicapped to teach them trades. I'm talking about real down-to-earth ministry that when you go there and see it, you'll be stunned with what God did through one man, a man of prayer, and a team that was praying, to the point when he turned 60 a few years ago, the government sent leaders. I flew over from America just to be there for his 60th birthday. Just be there and come back home. I wouldn't do that probably for any other person in the world, but did it for my dear friend with joy. And government leaders were there at his celebration to recognize the significance of the ministry there in India and the good, the humanitarian good that it's done. Well, his wife is Canadian with German blood. And God began to burden him to go to Germany and serve in Germany. All he wanted to do was pour out his life for India and then establish branches of the ministry in different countries to bless those countries and to get funding from those countries for the work in India. God began to burden him for Germany just for the sake of the German people. And he went over with the family. They spent 3 months plus. They lived in the whole family, the four of them, mom, dad, and two kids. They lived in a room, I don't know, maybe 12 by 12, something like that. And they just reached out to the homeless. They reached out to the drug addicts. They just encouraged the church to do outreach because many German churches, just like many American churches, don't have much of a heart for evangelism, outreach. They began to step out. They began to do this. And after a few months there, Yesupadam told the Lord, you know, I don't want to go back. It's too hard. I just want to be here in Germany. And God said, did you go of your own accord or did I send you? Lord, you sent me. Well, then you go back. So he went back. God gave him a tremendous burden for the nation. They've seen amazing things happen now. People being converted. I mean, homeless, lost, hurting people, drug addicts, others getting saved. Now they have a house where they can live. They get discipled. And Yesupadam is working with other pastors. And they're now going out. They're evangelizing. And they're seeing change. And he believes. I've known him now since 1993. I've never known him to just speak empty words. I've never known him to just get all hyped up. He's a realist. He believes. And he came to the meetings. He drove about 6-7 hours over from Rotterdam, Holland, where they were there participating at our Fire School of Ministry in Holland. I said, please come and share with the people here in Tübingen, Germany, what you believe God spoke to you. And he said that he believes God spoke to him, that God is going to send revival again to Germany. And just as Germany was used in the past to touch Europe in a positive way, spiritually in a positive way, it's going to happen again. And there are other sober German Christians who believe that as well. Oh, not in the natural, not when you look around in the natural. In the natural, it's not going to happen. These bones are dry. They're very dry. And there are a lot of them. And there's no way they're going to come back to life. Again, to take the image of Ezekiel 37, originally spoken about the Jewish people in Babylonian exile. But when you're in the midst of people of faith like we were tonight, and you see what God has done, and the miracles that have happened thus far, and the supernatural connections with Israel, and the ministry they've done now around the world, you step back and say, all things are possible. All things are possible with God. Let's keep praying for Germany. The best could be yet ahead.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Coming away from Tübingen, Germany. And if you could pray for grace on my travel, supposed to get home today, Tuesday, probably early evening. And then next Tuesday, scheduled to leave for Israel, 2 days in Israel, and then back to Germany for 2 days. It's the celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. There's much to be thankful for, and there's much to say that's wonderful, but there's got to be more. So back and forth overseas, and then pouring into radio and writing in the midst of all of it. So thank you for praying. Can I talk to you about America? I have a book due out in September called Saving a Sick America. And I've mentioned this before, but the first chapter, it's an introductory chapter. It's a short chapter. I asked God for grace to paint a picture of how far we have fallen as a nation. And how much has happened to the younger generation, and how much has happened to families, and what's happened to much of our morals and fear of God. Oh, there are certain things better in America now than, say, a generation ago, but so much that is so much worse. And I prayed for grace to do it, and I really felt the Lord gave me a picture to paint of a man with his kids watching Leave It to Beaver in the early 60s, and he falls asleep during the broadcast and wakes up, and it's today. It's quite dramatic, and I believe we're going to have it dramatized on video as well. And through the book, I talk about how sick America is, how dire our condition is, how in many ways it looks like there's only one way we can go, and that's down from here. In other words, if someone made the case that America is in steady, sure moral decline, steady, sure spiritual decline, you could make a good case for it. You could. In other words, if you were looking for fuel to prove that, fuel for your fire to prove that everything's going to get worse before Jesus comes and he must be coming soon because look at how bad it is in America. There's a lot that's bad. There's no question. So I am a realist. Yet, I live with a deep and intense hope and expectation that God is going to pour out his spirit in the nation. Can I prove it to you? No. Am I giving you a thus saith the Lord prophecy? No. I'm telling you what I believe to the core of my being. Now remember, I've seen some things over the years. Take this accordingly, whether you should take it with a grain of salt or whether you should take it with a lot of confidence. But in 1983, God's Spirit spoke to my heart that I would be in the midst of a revival that touched the world. It seemed crazy. I remember when I felt deeply impressed by that while in deep prayer and intercession. And as the thought rose in my heart and I felt God was speaking it to me, I thought, you're crazy. You've gone off the deep end. You're like one of these guys like John Alexander Dowie or William Branham that thought they were Elijah the prophet at the end of their life. You're deceived. I mean, this is what's going through my mind. But the more I prayed, the more God confirmed this, and the more he burdened me to pray and fast for outpouring. And then he connected me with people like Leonard Ravenhill, the author of Why Revival Tarries, and David Wilkerson at Times Square Church, and we became co-workers and had the privilege of spending many hours and days with Brother Lennon praying with him, this extraordinary man of God, this great revivalist, this man of prayer with such spiritual penetration. And then David Wilkerson, just with his tremendous message of holiness and repentance. And he was always sounding the alarm about coming judgment, and so much of what he said about the shaking that would come. I mean, we've seen so much of it, and the moral decline, the spiritual decline, we've seen so much of it. And God connected me with these men, and this only poured more fuel on the fire of my heart that there would be an outpouring, and I'd be right in the middle of it, and it would literally touch the world. In other words, it wouldn't just have a local impact or a national impact, but a global impact. And remarkably, after years of prayer and fasting and seeking God, 13 years later, God places me right in the midst of what church historians have called the longest-running local church revival in American history. And people came there from 130 nations. I can take you around the world and show you the fruit that is ongoing, that is directly tied back to the revival, and people that were touched in the revival or saved in the revival that are bearing much fruit around the world. And friends would come from Long Island, where I used to live, and they'd be in the services, and they'd come and sit with me, and they'd see the school, and they'd say, "Mike, you told us this was going to happen. You told us you'd be in the middle of this." So take that for what it's worth. For years now, I have believed that as surely as there is a civil rights movement in America, that there is going to be a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution, and that it will take back some of the ground that was taken from us beginning in the 60s with the counterculture revolution, right up through everything, the aftermath of the sexual revolution and gay activism and so many other things, and radical feminism and the secular humanism that has risen up. As surely as there was a civil rights movement that brought about so much change in America, I've been convinced for years that there's going to be a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution that's going to bring about great change in America. I don't know how far it will go. I'm not telling you that it's going to do this and that we'll be back to, you know, Leave It to Beaver and instead of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, whatever. But I'm sure that there's going to be a pushback. I believe it to the core of my being, and it's going to be gospel-based. And as God began to lay that on my heart, he also began to lay it on my heart that I'd be on national talk radio. I did not pursue this. This came to me. This knocked at my door. And God is the one who's opened the doors to this minute. And I didn't come up with the intro, but every day I'm introduced as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. And the articles we write on cultural issues, by God's grace, they're being read in America and around the world. And the videos we put out are being discussed. I've been asked to meet with and testify before government leaders in different nations about moral and cultural change and what's happened in America. All I'm saying is, as bad as things are, I have hope. Now, I have hope, period, because Jesus has risen, because Jesus is Lord, because God is King. If America was completely destroyed, I'd still have hope because of who God is. And yet, I don't believe it's all over for America. I believe it's urgent. I believe we're in a terrible mess. I believe radical change needs to come, or we could really find ourselves in a chaotic situation. But I don't believe it's all over. And I believe that we can see a significant move of God that impacts the nation with millions of new converts, some of the most unlikely people from the most unlikely backgrounds. I believe we can see it, and I believe with that, we can see a holy pushback. And let me ask you this. Whether you like Donald Trump or hate Donald Trump, you have to admit that 3 years ago, if I told you he'd be the next president and he'd be elected as a pro-life champion, you'd laugh me out of town. It would seem crazy. Whether you like him or hate him, it happened. And it's one of these days where we have to realize anything can happen. I believe God, and I'm going to hold his promises of his goodness and truth. And I say, even in America, these dry bones can.